Please open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 11 as we continue our morning scripture reading. You'll find this on page 238. Now here's another chapter of massive bloodshed and slaying by the people of Israel on the enemies of God and Canaan. And as we've mentioned, we're supposed to be embarrassed by these today. But the fact is that these are demonstrations of the wrath of God against hardened unbelievers. Now on the one hand, it is certainly true that the church in the gospel age is not organized militarily. We don't use the sword with its edge against anyone, and either in the church or out of it. Our sword is the word of God, and we would take captive every thought. But it is also true that this is the same God of the New Testament. I was interested this week, maybe you heard our president's remarks at the National Prayer Breakfast. I think they have justly been criticized, comparing the atrocities by the Muslims with things Christians have done. I thought that was justly criticized. But I was listening to one commentator who said, well, the book of Joshua is all past. I thought it was very interesting. All that bloodshed of the church is all past. And I thought, well, it's also future. Because the book of Revelation says that Jesus is going to return and he comes. I read last week the passage from that. Now, the Bible teaches that God is the creator. All will answer to him and he will judge those who are hard-hearted in sin. In fact, verse 20 of this passage shows very plainly that this was all intended by God as a deserved judgment upon these pagan peoples whose hearts were hardened. Now, the right thing for Christians to do when the society today is hardened against the Word of God and its teaching of divine justice is not for us to pretend that the Bible doesn't teach it. It's to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. If your heart is hardened against the Word of God, then listen to what this says, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death, and God is going to judge the wicked, the unbelieving, whether we like it or not. Now, in this chapter, you have two spiritual applications. The New Testament is going to take the histories of the Old Testament and make them analogous to our spiritual warfare. And there's two things you see here that are particularly relevant to us. The first is that the power and grace of God is that which provides salvation. The Israelites are going to conquer large armies that they would never be able to handle their own. There's a lot of kings. There's a lot of chieftains. These are mass Canaanite armies, and a relatively small Israelite army is going to meet them and beat them in battle. Why? By the power of God. And we are able to attempt things in our spiritual lives far beyond our ability because we have a sovereign, omnipotent God who loves us. And he will help us, particularly in our battle against sin. You say, oh, that sin, I can't even think about taking it on. Remember this passage. Go forth in the might of the Lord to honor his word, and he will give you the power as you go. Now, they're going to receive cities that they did not build. They're going to drink water from wells that they did not dig. They're going to eat the harvest of vineyards that they did not plant. It's a picture of salvation by grace alone. God gives them the cities of Canaan, and he gives them victory. At the same time, the Israelites are participants. They are active in their salvation. You and I receive salvation by grace alone. It is God's power. It is his gift for sinners like us. But folks, we're involved. We fight the good fight of the faith by the power of God, and he gives us salvation. It's all to his glory. Now, the second thing you'll see in this chapter, along with salvation by grace, is the whole idea of fighting the battle against sin. I was just mentioning that. But analogous to us are to these spiritual strongholds, these Canaanite nations who Joshua is going to defeat and drive out, are the remnants of sin in our lives. Now, it becomes clear as we go further that even though it sounds like Joshua routed them all, he defeated all the kings. He broke all the kingdoms. But there's little pockets of sin all over Canaan, Canaanites, and the succeeding generations are to finish the job and drive them out. It's not like, unlike our salvation, I'm saved and the power of sin is broken in my life. Oh, but there's little strongholds and remnants and pockets everywhere. I am not to make peace with my corruption, with my sin, with my worldliness. If I do that, what happened to Israel will happen to me. I'll suffer for it. I'll enter into idolatry. The whole of the Christian life is a warfare against sin, unbelief, worldliness, Satan, through the power of the Holy Spirit that he gives. And we're reminded here that ours is a victorious faith. Oh, we look like losers in society. Certainly it looks that way today. No, we have a God who's going to save us in the end. Rather than fearing the mass powerful enemy, we should have mercy on them. The only way for them to escape judgment is to believe in the gospel that we are to preach and to witness. With all of that in mind, let's give ear now to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, the 11th chapter of the book of Joshua. When Jabin, king of Hazor, heard of this, he sent to Joab, king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Achsuf, and to the kings who were in the northern hill country, and in the Arabah south of Chinneroth, and in the lowland, and in Naphoth Dor on the west, to the Canaanites in the east and the west, the Amorites, the Hivites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Jebusites in the hill country, and the Hivites under Hermon in the land of Mizpah. And they came out with all their troops, a great horde, in number like the sand that is on the seashore, with very many horses and chariots. And all these kings joined their forces and came and encamped together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them, for tomorrow at this time I will give over all of them slain to Israel. You shall hamstring their horses and burn their chariots with fire." So Joshua and all his warriors came suddenly against them by the waters of Merom and fell upon them. And the Lord gave them into the hand of Israel, who struck them and chased them as far as Great Sidon and Misrephoth Maim, and eastward as far as the valley of Mizpah. And they struck them until he left none remaining. And Joshua did to them just as the Lord said to him. He hamstrung their horses and burned their chariots with fire. And Joshua turned back at that time and captured Hazor and struck its king with the sword, for Hazor formerly was the head of all those kingdoms. And they struck with the sword all who were in it, devoting them to destruction. There was none left that breathed, and he burned Hazor with fire. And all the cities of those kings and all their kings Joshua captured and struck them with the edge of the sword, devoting them to destruction, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded. But none of the cities that stood on mounds did Israel burn, except Hazor alone, that Joshua burned. And all the spoil of these cities and the livestock the people of Israel took for their plunder, but every man they struck with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, and they did not leave any who breathed. Just as the Lord had commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Joshua. So Joshua took all that land, the hill country and all the Negev, and all the land of Goshen and the lowland and the Arabah and the hill country of Israel and its lowland from Mount Halak, which rises towards Seir, as far as Baal-Gad in the valley of Lebanon, below Mount Hermon. And he captured all their kings and struck them and put them to death. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the people of Israel except the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. They took them all in battle, for it was the Lord's doing to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle, in order that they should be devoted to destruction and should receive no mercy but be destroyed, just as the Lord commanded Moses. And Joshua came at that time and cut off the Anakim from the hill country, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, from all the hill country of Judah, and from all the hill country of Israel. Joshua devoted them to destruction with their cities. There was none of the Anakim left in the land of the people of Israel. Only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod did some remain. So Joshua took the whole land, according to all that the Lord had spoken to Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance to Israel, according to their tribal allotments. And the land had rest from war. The grass withers and the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever and ever. Amen.